Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bee Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, and tonight we're excited because we have our second listener interview on Miss Sansara Castro-Major. Welcome to the show, Sansara.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
You know, for a second there, I was like, okay, what's the problem? Because I couldn't hear a thing. I don't know about you all, but I couldn't hear the music or anything.
Me either.
But, okay, so we're all, so I wasn't going crazy, but it's yourself out. So we're going to have a great show tonight. Sunday, October 16th, but first, my sister has something she wants.
Yes, I just have one thing for the beauty news tonight. Illusions Cosmetics presents Conversations with Denise and Janice Tunnell, How to Become a Makeup Artist for Film and Television. It will be held at the Smyrna Community Center, 200 Village Green Circle in Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, November 5th from 3 to 7 p.m. The admission is $150 and seating is limited. You can RSVP at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com, or for more information, you can call 866-436-6409. And we'll be posting that information on Twitter and Facebook and in the blog as well.
Cool. Thank you very much. We're just going to jump right into the interview. I see the phone lines. There are so many people out there listening, so I just want to give a quick shout-out to Nzinga, who has called in, and I see J.K. Hunter on the phone. The other numbers I don't recognize, but there are quite a few, so I'm excited about that. Oh, yeah, she's popular. I don't know what's going on in the chat room, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there, so welcome to the show, everybody. For those who want to call in, make a comment, or ask a question, the number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And for those of you who are on the call and who want to say something, I see that you're out there, and I'll get to you, but I want to start the interview first before we start bringing in callers. So, Sansara, you know the routine.
Yes.
You got to tell everybody who you are. We know you as a hairstylist, a makeup artist, a beauty blogger. I want to know how it all began.
Oh, gosh, how it all began. Well, it all began, let's see, I kind of fell into it by accident, really. It was something I actually started doing. I started doing hair when I was 7. Yeah, I started doing hair at 7. And by the time I was like 10 or 12, I had clients come into my house doing hair for their prom. I didn't really know what that was. I just knew they were getting dressed, and they were like, oh, can you do my hair? And my mom was just like, this isn't free. You can't let people come over here. And I didn't want to be a hairstylist, but I really liked you know, making these girls around the way look really nice. And I actually got accepted to Botter Fashion College in Atlanta in my junior year. And some things happened in my family, and I wasn't able to go away to college. So my aunt sat me down, and she talked to me through many tears, and she said, you know, you won't be able to go to college. You know, you worked really hard. You got good grades in school. You can move here to Michigan, and you can go to hair school for free. And so I packed my bags and moved to Michigan. I moved to Detroit, and I started hair school at Redford School. I can't remember the full name of the school, but I remember it was called Redford. And for all the Detroit people out there. And actually, so I started hair school in Detroit, and I lived there for a while. I spent most of my summer, childhood summers in Michigan. And I started there, and then I came back home to Boston. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. And I finished hair school here. But what I did is I immediately met a woman, Spivey. Her last name is Spivey, and she actually had worked for she worked for Saucine Carson in the 80s. And she had a friend who knew a friend, and so she got me in a salon. Like, maybe I was about 3 months into hair school hair. So I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I started working in the salon assisting. And I was like, I want to go to college for fashion. This is what I want to do. So I went and I enrolled, and I went to school for fashion merchandising. I got my associate's degree in fashion merchandising, but I paid my way through school. I would go to college during the day and work in the salon after classes was over. So I would have, like, all my textbooks, like, sitting up on my counter and just kind of whipping through hair. It always came natural to me. So I finished hair school, went on to another salon, and then a guy came and he said, I want to send you to Dudley Cosmetology University. And I'm like, really? And he paid my way there. And I was like, this is awesome, like, really looking at degree programs they had at the time. So I went from fashion merchandising, got my associate's there, and went on to Dudley and actually finished my bachelor's degree program at Dudley, and I started working into my master's, and I decided I was just so tired of school at that time. So when I was there, I actually got my bachelor's of science in cosmetology, and I worked in the salon, and I looked at my resume. I had people approaching me to do platform artistry, and someone said, you know, can you do makeup? I'm like, I've never done it. So I actually walked away from the salon. I worked in the salon for probably about 8 years, and I walked away from the salon and went into the department store because it was the only thing not on my resume. Wow. And I took the plunge. I took like a $20,000 pay cut and went into a store, and everybody thought I was crazy. They were like, why would you walk away? Because I was a master stylist. I actually worked for John Delaria, who was one of Vidal Sassoon's, like, early, one of his students. So I had really good training. I sat under some really good people. I come from the school of the Barry Fletcher and John mm-hmm. Atkinson, and, you know, really studying them and hair, and Thomas Hayden, and I was just like, I'm going to walk away from it. And I have a great husband, and he's always supported me. And I did it when we first got married. So I figured, if this man is going to get behind me when I say I'm going to walk away from this career that I really built, you know, I was very comfortable as a master stylist. And I'm going to go into the stores. And I went into the store. And before I went into the store, working at John Delaria, being one of the only minority stylists, I made sure my hair was done, my makeup was done, I dressed well, and someone invited me on a shoot. And mm-hmm. when I got to the shoot, they asked me to do makeup. They had enough hairstylists. And I always kept minimal, like the opposite of makeup artists when they go. There are some makeup artists that will keep brushes and hairpins and things like that. So I would keep a couple of foundations, a couple of pencils, things that made sense that I can kind of pull it together. And I went on this shoot, and the photographer actually hired me again. And I was like, I really can do this. I really can do this. So I kind of threw myself into makeup, and I learned, you know, I really serviced my own community, volunteering for plays and things like that. And one play led to another play, led to a movie set, led to a CD cover, led to another CD cover, led to a relationship with the record label. You know, it's so it just all these things just started happening, and that's how I kind of evolved into hairstylist, makeup artist, and then I became a product trainer. So I actually got into network marketing, and they needed someone to tell the consultants about the product. And, you know, with my background in cosmetology and having to do the bachelor's program, that was one of the parts we had to really get into ingredient knowledge. So I just got up there in 3 minutes, and one of the women in the class at that time was the CEO of the company. And mm-hmm. she was like, oh, my goodness, I need you to do this more. And so here we are 7 years later, and I picked up that title as product trainer, which I've become more and more passionate about, you know, training, doing more teaching and more training. So that's what I do more of than doing makeup and hair. I do more training than anything.
Gotcha.
And that's it. That's how I've come into all of this.
Well, let me ask you, what is it about hair that you love?
It was what I was capable of doing. It really, it was a running joke in the family. They say I get this look on my face where they say, she's there. They always say, she's there. I go, and I don't know that I don't recognize it, but my cousins would always laugh, and they would always make that joke about it. And they said, when I get to there, something happens when I'm not myself. So I really felt it. I really started paying attention to that, and I can feel when I need to create something. It was different from if I kind of just went in and I said, oh, you know, I'm just going to do some washing sets today, and that's just going to be that. But I really, really, really built relationships. I really became part of the life of every woman that I touched. These women, they cried in my chair. We hugged. We laughed. I always tell people, I did not run a gossiping business. I have had people that I've escorted out of the shop myself. Because I'm like, no, we don't do that. We don't make anybody else feel less than. So, and that's what hair did for me. It allowed me to touch the lives of people. It's a supernatural way almost that I really can't describe of all the experiences that I have had, you know, in standing behind that chair and really exchanging with these women.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very diverse clientele. So that is exactly what, you know, doing hair has done. You know, I just did it because I'm my most creative self when I'm using my hands.
Right.
I'm really, that's just where life lives in me. Love is in my heart, but life lives in my hands. And when I touch people, you know, it's just going out for me. And I love that. You know, that's the part. I won't trade that for anything.
But isn't that really what it's all about, especially in this beauty industry, you know, whether you do hair, makeup, you know, skincare, nails, or, you know, massage or whatever. It's like, you know, meeting people, interacting with those people, and really basically releasing our energy into them.
Exactly.
I mean, it's that constant giving. It's really what it's all about. It's not even about the fact that we're talented at this or we're talented at that.
Right.
It's basically how you can affect another person's life.
Right. And then I don't know if you remember the old saying. It's the old saying my grandparents used to say. They go, you have growing hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old thing they used to always say. You have growing hands, so you're supposed to touch people. I was
mm-hmm.
like, what does that mean? They were like, oh, baby, you be fine. You know, you got growing hands. It's weird shit. Yeah.
Now, I just want to say to the people in the chat room, like I just typed, and I know, Santara, I know that you're in the chat room as well, but I'm looking for questions. If anyone has any questions that they want to ask her, I know that you're going to put it in the chat room, but I'll still ask it over the air if you have questions. So if you ask questions, Santara, don't answer them in the chat room.
I won't. I keep getting kicked out of the chat room for everything. So I'm just, I can see everything happening. It's weird.
Okay.
But I'm here. Any questions?
Okay. Everybody, of course, you know, everybody that listens loves you. So I'm glad that you accepted the invitation, and I'm glad that you're on the show. Do you see that there's been any big changes in the hair care industry since you started?
Yes, there's a lot. there are a lot. I find that, and I've had this conversation with other peers, just in the industry as a whole, I find that there's a blurred line of trust between with professionals and online personalities.
Mm.
And what happens is I don't know personally exactly what happened. I have speculation as to what happened. A lot of bad experiences happen where people don't trust professionals anymore. There's so much information that is at the fingertips of so many people via the internet. And so you have a lot of online personalities that are giving information, and it's not truth. They're really actually exploited myths. And, you know, I saw something a couple of weeks ago where an online personality wrote something about it's important to let your hair breathe. And I cringed because I saw this long conversation going on about hair breathing. And I was like, how can an appendage that grows out of the scalp that is dead breathe? Hair can't breathe. But there was a whole thing going on in product solution. And I'm like, what is happening that you have people who are listening to these exploited myths,
yeah,
and they're co-signing to them, and I think that is what's happening. And I do hear from stylists that this is starting to come into the shops. There's a contention that happens with the stylist and the client because the client has found out all this information online, and then they come in and they're trying to tell the textbook study, oh, that's wrong. You need to use this or you need to use that. And so who they trusted before, all of a sudden they're second guessing. You know, so that's the biggest thing that I see. Because realistically, ingredients are ingredients. They're adding here and there as the years go on. But the truth of the matter is the FDA only allows so many ingredients to be used in the United States. We just keep flipping, frying, and baking it differently. And, right. You know, it's all about marketing and advertising. But all in all, it's the same thing. You know, it's what was Vaseline before is hair butter now. Whatever. you know, so that's, you know, that's what I see the most, you know, from where the hair industry is now.
Right. Well, I have a question from the chat room. First, I want to give a quick shout out to Aisha, Apple Diva, Brandolin, Danny B, Desiree.
Oh, my love bugs.
Yes, Jen James, Scandalous Beauty, Sherry Blossom, Technicolor,
You know, a bunch of the usuals are in the chat room. Thank you guys for listening. Actually, the question came from Sherry Blossom, and her question is, how do you stay level-headed using all the social medias that you do? How do you respond to the negativity, if any, especially to younger makeup artists and hairstylists and bloggers?
You have to know who you are. If you know who you are and you present yourself as such, then there's no confusion to anybody. You have to be authentic. Who I am online is who I am in person. And I remember when I first started on social media, someone said to me, you know, wow, are you that support? You're so supportive. Are you really that supportive in person? And I said, absolutely. I'm not going to give you anything else than what I am, because that's just too much energy that I just cannot pull together. I can't pull it together to be two different people, three different people, four different people, according to my real life and however many social media outlets I use. I can't do it. I have to be my authentic self. I have to be. And it's a biblical principle that I live by. I have to be who I profess to be. I have to be a great representative of who I serve.
Right.
Because if I'm not, then in the beginning and in the end, I failed as a good witness. I'm not serving anyone any justice at all. So that's how I deal with it. I don't get into negativity. If I build a relationship with someone via social network, I'm very upfront. If I don't like what you're doing concerning me, I'm letting you know. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I'm letting you know. So
right.
I haven't, you know, I feel if I can do that, then everything is okay. And that's how I deal with social media. Everything has a rhythm. If you pay attention, even on social media, you can see who's real and who's not real. Follow
right.
enough people. The circle isn't really that big. If you see someone and they're constantly being somebody else, you have mm-hmm. to pay attention to that. You have to know who you want to give yourself to. I've been hurt a lot in this industry. You know, I've had my intellectual property stolen in horrible ways. So, you know, I have a good friend that you have to protect yourself, and I've learned how to do that. And I am wholeheartedly believe that you have to pay attention to the rhythm. You really do. Give them enough space. They'll trip.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to acknowledge that trip. You can't just say, oh, yeah, they're having a bad day. Well, they keep tripping every day. So they're clumsy. If they're clumsy, they're clumsy. You have to pay attention to that. You can't excuse that, and then you get burnt later. Don't get comfortable with people on social media, because they're not there. You have to meet these people and see how they live and move, and before you can say that's my friend.
Right. Absolutely.
You have to be very careful. I've seen people get very, very, very comfortable. And then they don't understand what happens when you say, "Oh no, 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 no! You got to send me some shots so I can see your work." And then they're upset
mm-hmm.
because,
right.
"Oh, I thought we was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Business. This is a business. We're
absolutely
not cool like that. I don't know you. You could be sending me somebody else's work." So I
right.
see that all the time. You know, I see it all the time, and I hear it. And, you know, I've been disappointed, but I meet people where they are. I try to
right.
really meet people where they are. So that is it. Thank you, Sherry.
Well, you know, I want to begin to talk a little bit about makeup, but before we do, I want to go to the phone line here. Hi, Nzinga.
Oh, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Good evening, Santara.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm a fan of yours.
I love what you're saying. What you're saying, you're speaking truth to power. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Can I have a question. Oh, you have a question? I have to say.
I do have a question.
Okay.
I actually have two questions.
Okay.
Let me just say this. The product knowledge is so, so key. And I agree with you about online personalities versus professionals, because I'm hearing a lot of, and I'm seeing a lot of YouTubes. I'm just going to put it on the table. I'm seeing a lot of YouTube information that is very, very incorrect. Tutorials, they're great, but can you do it on another person? Can you do it on another person? And the information that we're given as professionals and training, it's years of training.
You
know, what you did was incredible. I mean, taking risks is very key to our profession.
Right.
You know, and having support in taking those risks is very key. But going back to the question about product knowledge, were you speaking in particular about hair?
Both.
About both. Well, you know, there's something that I was a little bit confused about, you know, just for myself, regarding mineral cosmetics, the shelf life of mineral cosmetics and the level of mica that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the actual shelf life for mineral cosmetics? Would you have any idea?
The interesting part about that is when the company that I worked for, well, I actually work with the company now, and they actually have a mineral makeup. And so I had to go in and really kind of delve in. And the theory of it is there is no shelf life because the product doesn't hold moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it clumps together, it mimics moisture, but it doesn't hold moisture.
Mm.
And the amount of mica that different lines use is according to the pigmentation that they're trying to instill in. The line that I work with them, their kind of claim is that unlike a very higher-end brand mineral makeup line, they have bismuth, which is known to be it's an irritating ingredient to a lot of skin types. They don't have it in theirs. So, but in like their foundations, they've lowered their titanium and up the zinc because the zinc, what they have shown is that the zinc, when you put the zinc in there or in more copper, it decreases the gray, the ash on deeper skin tones.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wow.
Right, so what happened is because a lot of the lines, what was happening is they would only go so far with women of color, and it's just because the foundation parts of it have a lot of titanium in mineral makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is this particular line, they actually reduced the titanium, put a little bit more zinc, and then they added copper, which makes sense because copper as a pigment,
you know,
is a little closer to our skin tone. So as far as the interesting thing about mica, because I remember mica was an issue in lipsticks in the 90s.
Yeah.
A lot of the companies were scrambling because people were having swelling of the lip around the lip line with the mica. And a lot of them are still putting the mica in there, but they're trying to put it in minimal amounts. And, you know, you have different lines that do different things. Some of them are decreasing the mica and putting in more aquamarine because the aquamarine is what helps to build the color pigment. So, you know, it varies from line to line. I think as much research as they're willing to put in or as much, you know, and what they're looking for as far as the trait, you know, their payoff as far as pigment is concerned. But that's pretty much what I've gotten in my research with mineral makeup and playing around with the different lines. And I just don't like the light reflecting that it gives those little sparkle pigments that they give. I haven't seen anybody master a true mat yet.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
Yeah,
well,
in that.
You have to remember minerals, natural minerals, they just have their own glossomer to them. You really can't hide it. You can pat it down as much as you want to, but, you know, it's by virtue of what it is as an element. It's a shiny element. Is that accurate?
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It is a shiny element.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because what they're saying, you know, what they're using in that has been used for years in light reflecting foundations.
Mm.
So it's the presentation is different. The ingredients aren't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it goes back to the FDA.
Right.
And all the ingredients we have in this country, there's only like 55,000 ingredients that we can't use.
Mm.
And that's really not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's very interesting because a lot of the products that I've gotten that were overseas, cosmetic lines, different,
mm-hmm.
you know, smaller labels, let's say, there's so much pigment and there's so much, you know, they just break all the rules.
Right.
You know,
oh, yes.
Americans cannot do that. And, you know, to see those smaller lines, which I absolutely love, you know, you got to sneak them in your bag.
Yes.
But, you know, they're fantastic. I mean, I find one thing that everybody looks for as far as eyeshadows are concerned are red eyeshadow.
Right.
And
right.
Red is like a huge no-no.
Red is a huge, huge, huge no-no here. They took red. I mean, red just came back in the last.
Why is that? Why is that?
The dye. They found that the dye caused a lot of problems. They saw a lot of problems. It had something to do in children. There's something with the red dye, something in the red dye. And actually, M&M's was the first company to bring red back.
Mm.
M&M, they were the first ones to bring it back, and they played around with it for years, but there was something in the original dye. Because I actually remember, if you were like a child of the 70s and the 80s,
mm-hmm.
if you ate a red candy, a dyed candy, it actually had a bitter taste to it.
Mm.
It actually, there was a slight bitter to it. And so all the reds was taken off the market and everything, and food, because you figure you still, the interesting, it brings up another fact. When you deal in makeup, and you talk about food, the grades are very close together.
Mm.
Because there's cosmetic grade, there's food grade, and there's therapeutic grade.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you get into grades of dyes, food and cosmetic grade is very, very close, which is interesting.
Mm.
Because the big argument now in the millennium is what you're putting on is just as important as what you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's really, really interesting. So that's why you have that whole industry now. The spa industry is a $1 trillion industry.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they've decided to spend the extra money to buy the therapeutic grade because it's not watered down.
Mm-hmm.
The tinctures that they use coming into the therapeutic grade penetrates the skin within 15 minutes.
Wow.
15 minutes. That's all.
You know that.
Yep, 15 minutes, therapeutic grade. And that's the FDA approved. So that's why people are more trusting of the more organic, natural, you know, which is, you know,
right.
always kind of a back and forth where people say, well, what's the difference between being organic and what's the difference of being natural? And, you know, natural is something born in nature. And organic means what? That it wasn't treated with any pesticides or anything of that
right.
nature. So, you know, you have that back and forth, but that's why people co-sign too. You have a lot of people in the shea butter market, in the black soap market, because those things now with the fair trade moving, automatically you're getting therapeutic grade.
Mm.
You know, you're getting therapeutic grade to base your product on, and when you get therapeutic grade, you don't need as much to add to it to substantiate the product as on its own.
Mm. That's great knowledge. I have one more question, and then I'm going to leave you guys. This is fantastic. I just want to listen. You said in your salon you don't have gossip. Praise the Lord. Now how do you police that? Can you tell other artists who are in salons or on set how they can avoid gossip or stop it in the midst of it? Because I find for me, I've had to deal with a lot of it. I've had to deal with people who give me confidentiality agreements to sign because they've dealt with so many people who talk mm-hmm. and sell their stories. A lot of people don't realize that what they're doing when they're talking is they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
And they're killing their next job. They're killing their next job as soon as they open up their mouths or how they treat other artists. How do you deflect that? Can you just expound on that?
When I worked in the salon, you know, you will have someone and they'll say something and they'll curse, and I say, I'm sorry, you know, can you please watch your mouth? Not that type of party. I always have this phrase. I always say, it's not that type of party. Mm. But for the most part, I would always deflect and maybe have a teaching moment. Mm-hmm. All my clients got used to just on a whim. I could just be like, oh, you know, I'm trimming her hair today because. So I just start talking. It becomes a teaching moment over what's happening. I think, and they got used to it. Another thing that I've always done that I was just taught to do was take authority over the atmosphere, my
Absolutely.
Own atmosphere. So
Absolutely.
I always get to work early. I always mm-hmm. pray over, you know, in my workplace. Mm-hmm. But I have my music that I played, and, you know, I set the atmosphere. I believe that nothing can penetrate true worship. And so if I set that atmosphere and then it starts my day, then, of course, there's some adversary that come up and you have to talk directly to it. But I found that mm-hmm. because I committed to that, then that was honored. So
right.
that's what worked for me. I did have a situation, and I always share the situation, because it was probably the boldest I had ever gotten behind the chair. And I had a young woman come in, and she went to sit down next to a client of mine that I had been doing for years. And the client looked at her and said, you can't sit here. And there was nowhere else for the client to sit. And the woman kind of moved over. She did not, I mean, she just didn't want her to sit there. And she didn't want her to sit there because it was obvious what country this woman was from, and she just didn't like it.
Mm.
And so I said to my client who was in the chair, I said, excuse me for a minute. And so I walked over to the client, and I said, can I speak to you for a minute? And I said, please, come on. And I walked her out of the shop, and I told her, she has to find another place to do business because I will not allow discrimination, not on my watch.
Mm.
I said that wasn't, and that was probably the boldest that I had gotten. And when I came back, I apologized. I told her if she chose to come back, she would have to apologize. And if she chose not to, then she would have to leave. I had no problem refunding her money, but it just wasn't going to be tolerated. And that, you know, I find you take a stand. We have to stand for something. And we see it all the time. And people feel like, yes, every person that pays you, they are your boss. You're there to serve them. You are. But you have to take a stand for something. You know, you can't let them come in and do whatever because they're going to pay you $50, $60, $100 at the end. You
right.
can't. You just can't. It's not worth what it brings to the business. And I just never wanted to be that stylist that people were like, girls, you got more drama than a little bit over there. I just I just didn't want to be that. And I have to credit Dr. Joseph Dudley for that.
Mm.
I have to credit him for that. I had one life-changing conversation with him, and it was random. He just sat down. I was at the school, and he came and sat down next to me at breakfast, and he just started talking. And he goes, we have to do better. We have to look better. We have to speak better. We have to want better. We have to command better. And he said something that I keep with me, and I'll share with everybody. He said, we as a people, we spend so much time trying to know. We want to know this one. We want to know that one. We want to know this one that knows that one. We don't take the time to understand the nature of our business. We don't take the time to understand our fellow man because we're too busy trying to get to know. It's contradicting as a believer to seek to know. And the word tells us to understand.
Right.
Understand means to be knowledgeable, to have an understanding. And he shared that with me, and I walked with that. I said, oh, he didn't sit down here for nothing. I will keep this. I mean, this is a man. If you read his story, they said he was mentally retarded. He built Dudley products out of his pocket. He actually was an assembly line worker for the cosmetic company, the line that was previous to to Dudley products, and I forget the name of it. And they were going under, and he was really good at saving his money. And he went to go get a loan, and he was like, the government basically wants to own my business. So he saved more money, and he bought the company and kept, like, two of their products, and then he built Dudley Cosmetics off of those two products and Madam C.J. Walker's vision.
Wow.
But his medical record said that he's mentally retarded.
Wow.
Like he said, like he wasn't. They told him he wouldn't retain anything. He just was stupid. And he's like one of the most knowledgeable men. It's amazing to just know his story and to see what they built. I was on that campus when the president of one of the countries of Africa landed his plane on their property. I was like, this is crazy. I had never seen anything like that before in my life. And I just sat there and said, and Mr. Dudley used to walk around, and all he would say to us is, he goes, as a man thinketh. As a man thinketh. That's all he would say. He would, like, walk through the hall, or he would just come through where we would eat, and he would go, as a man thinketh, so is he. He would just say that to us. I would say, man, this man is so powerful. So that time that I spent on that campus earning my degree, I was like, I will not ever lay that to rest, what he shared. I have to, you know, incorporate that in my life and live with that.
Wow. Wow.
We're at a loss for words.
Yeah.
We always, you know, one of the things for me is that I always look for muses, and one of my greatest muses was Madam C.J. Walker. And to hear about Mr. Dudley's story, that, you know, wow, that's impressive, because, you know, sometimes we always go by what we see, you know, more than what is, and what's on paper isn't always accurate.
No, not at all.
Right.
Well, obviously, in his case, that wasn't true of him, you know? Because someone who is mentally challenged could not have possibly done all that he's done and had the foresight to do it and to maintain it.
Not at all.
Well, I love you all. This is fantastic. I'm just going to let you go because I'm enjoying
listening. Thank you.
And let
Thank
somebody
you,
else
Linda.
Ask questions.
And I okay, have to say, before you leave, I have to tell her, when I first started, when I got into makeup, there were certain people whose work I hung up on the wall. because I had to learn the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two women in my makeup life at that time, and it was Nzinga and Roxana Floyd.
Oh, my.
And I would copy your work because I'm a visual and theoretical learner. Like, I can look at a picture and copy it. I can read the directions and copy it.
That's fantastic.
And so a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I remember her. That's Mary J. Blige's makeup artist. I remember following your work back. I read about you when you did her makeup at a makeup counter. I was like, she does makeup at a makeup. Wow, really? And now
I have
kind
no
of,
shame, I tell you.
No,
it's,
but
it's,
I remember
it's the
that.
Love. It's the love for the craft that you were talking about. There's a passion, and you'll do it anywhere, at any point, with anyone, whether you're being paid or whether you're not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And that was kind of one of my, that article that I read about you was one of the reasons why I was like, I need to go into a store and get some makeup, you know, some expertise behind me. And I was like, she did it. But there weren't a lot of girls that looked like me that, you know, I could kind of pull from. And I just always remembered that name because I actually went to high school with a gentleman named Nzinga.
No way. Well, yeah. You know, it's a cultural thing. But I have to tell you what you said about, you know, us having so much power and authority, and the love for your art comes through. You know, when I'm painting, you know, I'm an artist. I paint. You know, my inspiration comes from several things. You know, it can be from Vincent Van Gogh to the tree that's outside with no leaves on it. So, you know, and how we influence people and, you know, what your grandmother said about growing hands, you know, we can heal people.
We can
restore people. We can do many things. We're very, very influential because, especially when you're dealing with celebrity type, where they have mass influence and they're mass communicators, we're the first people that they see. So we have to come to the table with a certain level of balance and control, self-control, and you know, wisdom. Because we hear everything in that trailer.
Mm-hmm.
We're exposed to everything in that trailer. And what you divulge to that artist in that quiet time, whether it's 30 seconds or an hour, 2 hours, some artists take 2 hours to do what they do. You know, and that time is very crucial, what we deposit. And I think that if you're a self-contained individual and connected spiritually, you have a lot of influence along with your artistic passion.
Yes.
So with that said, God bless you.
Thank you.
Continue on your journey. I love what you're saying. Denise, you know I love you guys. It's all good. I love you like cooked food. I'm out.
And we know you like cooked food.
Yes, we do. That's another passion. We'll talk about that another time. But God bless everyone. Keep on your journey. Don't take no from someone who doesn't have the authority to give you a yes. And with that said, good night.
Good night. Thank you, Nzinga. We love you too. I know we're talking about you, but I just had to say this, Santara. I told Nzinga this. I told her this a couple of weeks ago, actually. But I was listening to you say that Nzinga and Roxana Floyd. But I was telling her that, you know, back when I was starting out, the two makeup artists that, you know, I heard their names all the time. And these are the women that looked like me, that I kind of looked at their work and I always saw their names, and it was Nzinga and Fran Cooper,
mm-hmm.
Who I kind of, you know, looked at their work and kind of studied their work. So Nzinga's been around for a while, and she's been an inspiration to a lot of us. So that was kind of nice. That was nice for you to say that.
Oh, that was so great. I'm like, yay, Nzinga.
And we've covered a lot because I was going to go into makeup, but you and Nzinga kind of got into that makeup area. But what is it that you like about being a makeup artist?
I'll tell you this. I kind of have it's kind of a personal thing that drew me into it, and I feel that it keeps me connected. When I was really small, I was separated from my paternal grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about her that I remembered about her was her makeup,
mm-hmm.
particularly her red lips. And so I actually used to play in it to kind of recreate her. It kind of helped me feel stay connected to her in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept building on it, and wanting to know more. That comes from me being kind of a nerd. That's my inner geek, I call it. Always wanting to just read and know more. I'm always reading, researching, just knowledge. And it's so funny because I was reunited with her after like 35, 36 years,
mm-hmm.
About 2.5 years ago. And
mm-hmm.
my mom gave her a picture, and my mom actually met her first, and then I was reunited with her. And the interesting thing is the picture my mom gave her when I went to go see my grandmother, the picture she had, I was actually teaching a mineral makeup workshop.
Mm.
And my sister took a picture of me, and this was the picture that I was getting. So it was like a full circle moment in a way. And my grandmother actually asked, what was I doing when I took the picture? And my father used to say to my grown-up, he said, you have such an eye for detail, don't waste it. You have such an eye for detail, you actually get it from your grandmother. And
oh, wow.
I used to say, why? She was not a makeup artist. She actually was a naval draftsman. She used to draw blueprints for the Navy. She
mm-hmm.
drew them. Because they didn't have, like, the screen thing. So she would draw blueprints. And when I first met her and she asked, well, what were you doing? I said, I was teaching a makeup class. And she goes, well, next time, my dear, pay attention to that jawline. And don't spin that way. She started critiquing me in the picture and how I looked as a presentation in the classroom. It was just really interesting. So it's just, makeup has always really been this really private, my own private connection to her in all those years
mm-hmm.
of my life, because it was like, wow, you know, she was just so refined. You know, she had like a winged liner with the signature red lips and her Ferragamo pumps and her little cat eye glasses, and that's just, I just found that I think that's what really drew me to makeup. It just kind of was this little way that kept me connected to her. And in my love for research and reading, I just kept building on it, and I found that I actually was, I was pretty good at it. and I got the same feeling that I got when I did hair. That I could, and people trusting me, just kind of calling me like, hey, could you do this for me? And I do it, and they go, oh, my gosh, can you do it again? I was like, oh, here's a check. Oh, I can get paid for this too? All right, this is nice. So, I mean, because that's really how makeup came about. It wasn't like I sat down and was like, oh, I'm going to be a makeup artist. I'm going to really seek to do this thing. It was, you know, calling me saying, hey, you know, I know you can do this too. Can you do it for me? And everything that I wanted to do or get my hand into, I was able to do it. So that's really what it has meant to me. And I keep moving with it. You know, I really, really keep moving with it to build on it.
Beautiful story. We have a caller here from the 248 area code. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And you, who is this?
This is Apple Diva / Karis.
Hi, Karis.
Hey, Karis.
Hello. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, where did you...
I think everybody was trying to talk at once.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, we're... How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're great.
Did you have a question or a comment?
Both. I'll make it brief. I love Santara. She's like the best. I met her at the makeup show in New York, and, you know, I've gotten a chance to see her in Chicago this year. And her spirit is very authentic, you know, and I love her passion for artistry as well as the professionalism, you know, having the right attitude. You know, I just love that about her. And, you know, she imparts that to everybody. And I don't really, like, see her doing, like, riff-raffy kind of stuff. And I like to roll with her because sometimes, you know, she's so gorgeous. I mean, her name is, you know, Gorgeous Ingredient, Gorgeous Blog. But you almost got a free ride in in Chicago.
She is so funny. Now, can I tell you really quickly, can I tell you the interesting thing about the name of the blog? People attribute it to the way I look.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gorgeous Ingredient is actually a woman.
Mm.
It's the element of a woman. That is exactly where the name came from. That's what the name stands.
Well, that's you, hon. That's you.
It is just so crazy that people always say, oh, my gosh, no wonder your blog's name is Gorgeous Ingredient. You're gorgeous. And I laugh, and I'm like, but that's not what it's about. It's actually the Gorgeous Ingredient is an essential element to a beautiful life. And that essential element is the beauty of the woman. There's no great product without a gorgeous ingredient, which is the woman that is committed to seeing who she is, and that is beautiful. And that's where the name came from. It's so funny because it's so weird that it's just weird to me, I guess, because I know where the name came out of, but it always comes back to me.
But I do have one question.
Okay.
Will you be having any videos or any, you know, super launches, lines of products? that's what I want to know.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I do. It's so interesting. I do, in all honesty, get asked a lot. Will I be creating some form of a tangible product? It's scary a lot of times, because I just, you know, I don't see that for myself. I don't see that for myself. I see myself. I have been a part of artist development as far as putting lines together. Have helped other people establish lines and consulting with them with ingredients and things like that. But I haven't really seen that for myself. That's something that I should put down.
Yes, you should.
I should. And you know what? I have another person I have to shout her out really quick. I actually had this idea 2 years ago in Revealing Beauty. Frances Williams, she tweeted something and other people were responding to it. And it actually brought the idea that I had laid down 2 years ago. It brought it back. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm supposed to do this. So I've sat down and I've kind of wrote the plan out and everything. And I just, starting tomorrow, I have to start making calls. So it's actually involving an event. So it'll be pretty fun. I think I want to do an event before I start doing anything else, but I think that's the first thing that you'll see come out of me is an event. Because
okay.
I like
that's
to take
awesome.
Who I am and turn it into something where we can come together and do something really fabulous together. So I think
yes, and you definitely should write a book.
I hear Sherry Block yelling right now. I hear her yelling right now.
You know, it's such a wealth of information. Just me being a blogger, a beauty blogger, you know, I just I love being in your company. It's all, you know, I always tell my husband, like, I wish we'd have stayed in, if I'd have knew her, we would have stayed in Boston for sure.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Karis. I do. I adore you.
You're welcome, baby.
Thank you so much.
Great show, ladies.
Thank you, Karis.
So, Sarah, what is it about you that you want people to know?
Let's see here. I love hard, and I mean, I every part of me that loves has a meaning. I love to laugh. The people who have who get the chance to be around me, they see they're like, you are so silly. But I love to laugh. I love to do something or say something that makes someone else laugh. You know, I never lose. I think one of the things I love the sound of when a child laughs. And so mm-hmm. there's a part of me that feels like I have that ability to do that in people I come in contact with. I can make someone laugh. And when I hear, there's a certain laugh I hear, that it's like that child inside of you is laughing. And it's just beautiful. I love, I think my tagline on Twitter is love and support is the core of my foundation. I love to support people. I love to support people. And I mean it. You know, if I support you, I'm doing it wholeheartedly. I love to keep my, you know, my arms never get tired from holding someone else's hand. That's what I'll say. You know, I like to reach out and hold someone else's hand. You know, walk. I like to walk. If we're in this together, if I say we're in this together, then we're in this together. I love to love. I love to support. And I mean it with every ounce of me. You know, I love to connect people. If I know someone that knows someone and they can connect and build and grow together, then I'm going to do it, you know. And I'm not looking, I guess my payoff is the excitement. I really get excited when good things happen for people that I know mean well, that are really trying hard. Because like I shared earlier, I've been right at the doorway. I've been right at the doorway. And I see what's mine. And then literally someone just walks by. They don't say excuse me. They just walk by kind of, you know, that person that kind of knocks you over without saying excuse me. And then what I know is mine is taken from me. I know what that feels like. And I've gotten to a point where I've learned to, I keep going despite that because I know what's coming from me. So if I can help somebody to kind of, you know, see what's theirs, find yourself in your own space and move forward. Right. We all need help, you know. Unfortunately, those times that things were taken from me, I didn't have anybody stand up for me. You know, I just walked away wounded and hurt. But to me, it's like if I can help somebody that even if they do get hurt, you know, they have someone to say, hey, girl, it's all right. Hey, man, it's all right. Kind of give you the rocky shoulder rub and throw a couple of jabs to the air and let's run up the stairs together. You know, that is me. That really is who I am. I love being a wife. I love being a mother. I love being a friend. I love being a sister, you know. And I love me some Jesus. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
So, that's me.
Amen. I love it. I love it. Are there any more questions from the chat room?
I don't see any, no.
I'm sorry, guys. Okay. I was in the chat room. I will tell them. I'm not ignoring them. I tell you, I've gotten kicked out about 3 or 4 times. So that means that, no, for real. And I told, I know everybody can hear me. I got kicked out of chat room about 3 or 4 times. The only thing that hasn't gone is my telephone. But I got an instant headache as soon as I was supposed to come on. So I know that I was supposed to come on and say what I said. Whatever I had to share, I hope that it helps somebody. But I knew I was supposed to, because when you have all those kind of things popping up, there's a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have another comment or question from someone in the 912 area code. So let's see who it is.
Is that my Francis?
It's Francis.
Hi, this is Francis. Hi, how are you ladies doing? Please excuse my voice. I do not have a question. I just have a comment. I want to say that I am so excited about this moment that we're having right now. And I also want to say that I'm so excited about the new venture that I sparked in Centaur's heart. And I'm going to sow a tithe seed into this new moment. So text me your address. So,
you are mad.
I just wanted to call and say that I'm enjoying the call. Hello to all the ladies in the chat room. And so that's what I wanted to say. So I'm done. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Crazy. Crazy.
We have two quick questions on the chat room. One is, when is the book coming out? And that's Sherry asking that question. And then JK is asking, when is teaching a class and we'll add makeup composition discussion into the class?
Okay. Sherry asked when a book is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That I don't know. For real, could you guys really keep me in? I need some positive thoughts and some prayer. Writing is too long of a story. It's a whole open
right.
ass church council meeting. and I'm really working through that. And trying to really come to grasp with that. So send me an email, anybody that is listening, and tell me what that book looks like to you. Because what happens with me is I have so much stuff in my head that it's like, what? Like, what do you want? What do you put it? What exactly does it look like? You know, and share with me, like, what exactly do you want to see? What exactly do you feel would be beneficial to you? And maybe that will help me. I'm asking for help to kind of put it in perspective, because I get the question a lot. I do. I get the question a lot. And sometimes one of the major things is, especially where the internet is concerned, people are, you see, well, you haven't been doing, how can you write about this and you haven't been doing this for a long time? Because I could get people to say, you should write a book about blogging.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I haven't been blogging as long as some of the bigger bloggers. So I said, how do you write a book and you aren't the way the blog industry is, you aren't a huge blogger earning revenue or anything like that. But
right.
What it is I'm a conceptual person. I'm always thinking of how to create something that speaks to an audience, how you can set things up a certain way. And so I get that. But at the same time, I always try to be respectful of industry. I always try to, where I fit and how does that look and things of that nature. I get people to say, why don't you write something? And someone wanted me to do a blog on ingredients, the way I do ingredients. I was like, it's a fine line between trying to write something and people not feeling like they're going to school again, like, oh, this is too much. But I think that it's dangerous because then people steal content all the time. And I'm sorry, Sally Mae is still calling my house. So I'm like, until I get rid of Sally, I just can't see giving away so much. I just, it kind of gets jumbled even within myself in trying to figure out exactly where that book fits.
Right.
And I didn't hear what JK said.
Hold on, let me see. It was about a class.
Will you be teaching a class, and will you add some makeup composition discussion into that class?
Oh, my goodness. I haven't taught a class. I haven't taught, like, a makeup class in, like, a couple of years. You guys are really challenging me, really. I will.
How about you do the event first, and then, you know, start thinking about it from there.
Yes, I will, because the event actually is a class.
Right.
The event is a class. It's gonna incorporate really everything of who I am. I like food. I like us to just kind of hang out. I like to do makeup. I like to do, you know, everything. So it's kind of going to be everything. So it should be fun. It should be fun. But I will consider that, JK. I haven't taught classes in a while. And I did get discouraged because the last class that I taught was just so gruesome. And, you know, as you know, ladies, if you taught classes, it could just get crazy with the whole event planning and people not doing what they want, supposed to do. And mm-hmm. I think the last one just got crazy and it got a little out of hand. And then, you know, it was a situation there where dealing with a company where some things happened that just weren't, they didn't feel good. And I believe I just got discouraged in that moment and I haven't taught since. Unfortunately, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Protect yourself, people. Protect yourself.
Exactly.
It's the truth. It is. You have to protect yourself.
This has been so fun.
Yeah, I told you we would have fun.
Yes, you did. You said so informative, as always. You know, we learned so much just listening to you. We have to do this more often. I'm excited. You were the second listener that we interviewed.
Thank you.
We're trying to do at least two more. You know, I think I saw something in the chat room about Jennifer James.
Nice.
Oh, that's a must.
Yeah.
That's a must. So she better say yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's ready. She's ready.
Okay. Okay, so Jennifer will be up next, the next time we do this. But I just think it's wonderful. I really think it's a great idea just to get to know the different people who listen to the show. So much knowledge. I think you're a beautiful spirit. We haven't actually met in person yet, but I just think you're a beautiful spirit.
We will.
Oh, definitely. And I just love how you present yourself. I just think it's wonderful. Great having conversations with you, and I'm just so glad that you were able to come on tonight. And I just really enjoyed the comments that everyone, you know, called in with, and Nzinga's questions. They were great questions. And Sherry's question in the chat room, just wonderful, and made for a wonderful conversation. And I'm just very thankful. I've heard your answer already in some of your answers, and in one of the, I'm trying to remember what question was asked. Oh, when they talked about when you mentioned the gorgeous ingredient, you talked about people saying that, you know, no wonder you called your blog The Gorgeous Ingredient based on how you look, but like you said, that wasn't really what it was about. My question now, as always, we always ask our guests, what does beauty mean to them? I'm not sure if we asked you the last time you were on the show, but if we did, just pretend that we didn't. I want to ask it again. But I want to ask you again what beauty means to you.
Oh, gosh. I think you're right. It is what I've shared about where I came from, where I pulled the name from for the gorgeous ingredient. But beauty always changes with me. It does. It changes. I really commit to look for it in everything. So how about this? I'll do something different. I'll dedicate what beauty is to me to the ladies in the chat room. So I'll say this. Beauty to me is the single mother who, there's several of them in the chat room, who is really, really, really chases her dream. She's really that first example for her child. You know, the child is not losing. The child wins. The child wins because the mother, everything the mother is doing is passionate. She's working her full-time job, but she's doing makeup. Beauty is the woman who is standing in the line of persecution, but I can hear her laughter still coming from her soul when she's laughing in that moment. You know, beauty is that woman who goes on a photo shoot and sees that she's far better than she has ever thought she could be as a makeup artist, and she still has room to grow. You know, beauty is the friendships that, you know, we have established, you know, with one another and laughing with one another, and now we call each other sisters. You know, it's beauty is just us opening our arms and keeping our hands open. You know, a closed fist can't receive, you know. So beauty is the fact that each of us can come on every week and kind of hold each other's hand in a cyber way, you know, and say, you can do this. Look what I've done, or connect you to somebody else. And, you know, someone come online and honestly tell us, like, that made, you know, I cried, but I made it through. You know, I feel better. That's beautiful. You know, that's really beautiful, where someone's going to hang up off this call tonight, you know, and walk away and want to go write their own book. They're going to want to start their own blog. You know, they're going to want to create their own cosmetics. That's beautiful. You know, that is really beautiful, because they're going to be their authentic self. In all of this, they see themselves somewhere, you know, over every obstacle, over their past, over all of that. You know, they've seen that, and they're jumping over that hurdle. You know, they see their finish line, so to say. That's what beauty means to me, and I dedicate that to all the women in the chat line. Some of them, they hear their own stories in that beauty. And God bless each and every one of you for coming on. I mean, you have so inspired me, and I appreciate you guys for reaching out for me. Believe me, I've had a serious revelation week. So this is a full circle. You know, this is really full circle for me. It was really great. It was really great. I have a nickname that was given to me from a network marketing company that I started working in 7 years ago. And my nickname is actually Sister Knowledge. In that network marketing company, and I thought they were crazy. I was like, why do they call it? I just thought that it was too heavy of a load. I laughed, but I thought it was too much. It just was too much. And it keeps coming back. You know, people go, you're so knowledgeable, you're so knowledgeable. And I said, gosh, you know, I remember when that woman gave me that name, and I feel like, that's just too heavy for me. You can keep that mantle. But now I see it. You know, I see that's what it is. And she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So that's what beauty is to me.
Amen. I love it. I love it. And I think that's a great way to end the show. I know there's been some people who've just been encouraged as well, not only inspired, but just encouraged also. So we thank you.
We thank you
again for joining us. It's been a lot of fun and just great listening to you talk. Like always, I can give you guys 5 minutes on Facebook, and then we have an early call in the morning. So as always, we'll see you guys over on Facebook for a few minutes just to chat a little longer. And again, join us next Sunday. We're going to be on Sundays for just a little while. So hang in there with us Sunday nights, 9 p.m. right here, same place.
I just saw someone wanted my I know some people are listening, some in the chat. Someone wanted my email address.
That was me. Uh-huh.
Okay. My email address is gorgeousingredient@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had it before, but I could not find where I put it. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And then I asked you and Jennifer for mailing addresses, so you guys can just email that to me or something.
Okay.
All right.
And
so,
Facebook.
Yes. We'll meet you guys on Facebook for a few more minutes of conversation. And again, join us again next.
Yes, next week, Sam Fine. Don't forget.
Yay.
So next week we're going to be talking about makeup for the everyday woman. So come with your questions and your comments, and we're going to have some fun chatting it up with Sam. Okay? So in the meantime, if you guys enjoyed the show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank you all again for your support. Thank you all of you ladies who joined us in the chat room. It was a lot of you. Thank you for joining us. For those who listened by phone, thank you so much. Thank you for those who called in. We really do appreciate you all's support. We really, really, really do. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful night and a great week. Good night.
Thank you. God bless you, ladies.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.